Will oil prices keep slipping? Not if OPEC can help it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The cost of a barrel of oil is once again above the psychological level of $100. The price is up to nearly $104 this morning after a decision from OPEC that was something of a surprise. It capped a five-hour session with an agreement to reduce output in a market that it sees as oversupplied. Megan Williams reports.
Traders expected the oil cartel, which met in Vienna, to keep production steady. Instead, OPEC abided by its own quotas and opted to lower output, which sent oil prices up. Oil prices peaked in July, but since then, demand has slumped. The world economy slowed and oil production rose, which brought the cost down. Commerce Bank commodity analyst Eugene Weinberg says he expects the price rise is temporary as demand growth slows in emerging economies.
The demand growth will slow down, and this will lead to lower prices because the demand growth from China has been the most important factor behind the higher oil prices in the last years.
Most of the production cuts will come from Saudi Arabia, which kept output high this summer. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
A state-run bank in South Korea that had been seen as a possible savior for Lehman Brothers now says it has broken off talks. Lehman is in dire need of finding fresh cash. Yesterday, its shares fell 45%. Traders will be watching to see how this all plays out on Wall Street after the Dow fell 280 points yesterday, a drop of around 2.5%. The S&P 500 had its worst day in about a year and a half, a drop of 3.5%. The Nasdaq closed down 2.75%. Stocks finished lower in Asia today. They're off fractionally in Europe at this hour. Advocates of relaxing business regulation keep telling us if corporations don't get some relief, they'll start taking their business somewhere else, as in to some other country. So where are they most likely to go? A new survey suggests some of the more attractive reforms are coming out of such places as Azerbaijan, Albania, and Belarus. The World Bank says they're among the leading countries making improvements to their business regulations. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has more.
Eastern Europe has gradually overtaken fast-growing East Asia as the region with the most regulatory reform. The World Bank report called Doing Business 2009 looks at 10 categories, such as how easy it is to start a business, get a license, hire workers, or file for bankruptcy. Some African countries are showing improvements, like Senegal and Burkina Faso, but the stars are countries just east of the European Union. Sabine Hertfeld, the report's co-author, says these countries have a special incentive to reform.
One of the factors that are driving this is, of course, the integration in the European Union, which makes certain reforms necessary to join the EU.
Georgia made the up-and-coming list, too, but that was before the Russian invasion. On the overall ease of doing business list ranking 181 economies, Singapore, New Zealand, and the United States are the top three for the third year in a row. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Car fanatics are blogging away about new photos of Chevrolet's highly anticipated electric car, the Volt. Some high-resolution pictures were posted on the Internet by a company that's a clearinghouse for car industry photographs. The pics were only there for 12 minutes, but that was long enough for them to be downloaded and published by several websites. GM had been expected to officially unveil its plug-in hybrid next Tuesday on the company's 100th anniversary. But hey, if you can leak a few photos and get the buzz going a little early, why not, shall we say, get a little extra mileage?
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. By Farrar, Straus, and Giroux, publishers of the new book by Thomas L. Friedman, Hot, Flat, and Crowded, Why We Need a Green Revolution and How It Can Renew America, wherever books are sold. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
Try Googling the word foreclosure these days, and you'll be presented with a display of ads promising foreclosure help now, or offering to stop foreclosure fast, or save your home today. The wave of foreclosures across the country has given rise to a whole new kind of business, the foreclosure rescue business. But as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, it's not always what it seems.
Joy owns her house in Queens, New York. But Fridays are the only time she actually sleeps there. She works three jobs as a home health worker and nurse's aide to try to make her mortgage payments.
To tell the truth, I really want to God to help me to have the house back. That's all. Because I get attached to it, you know.
She's owned the house for 30 years, but got sick a couple of years ago.
I failed to pay the mortgage.
The mortgage servicer wouldn't negotiate. She was terrified she'd lose her house. A friend told her about a company called Home Savers. The owner promised to save her house. All she had to do, he said, was sign over the deed for a year. It's a classic scam.
What they don't tell the person is that they're transferring their deed.
Jessica Addy is an attorney with the nonprofit South Brooklyn Legal Services.
The person to whom they're transferring it is taking out a much bigger mortgage on their house and cashing out all the equity, and then there's no way that the original homeowner can get their home back.
That's exactly what happened to Joy. Home Savers took out a new, much bigger mortgage. Joy's monthly payments double to more than $4,000 a month. Addie says she sees cases like this one all the time. The scammers use all kinds of tricks, like knocking on people's doors, visiting churches, bombarding victims with flyers promising to save their homes. New York has joined a handful of other states in passing new laws to make it harder to get away with these kinds of scams. But law or not, once a homeowner signed over the deed, or worse, it can be very hard to get the house back. Addie says the real trick is not to get tricked at all.
When you're in foreclosure, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have no options. Some of these people, if they had come to our office, we could have helped them refinance into a lower interest loan.
But Joy says in a desperate moment, that's advice easier given than followed.
Même when you're in trouble, no matter what people tell you they're going to help you, you just see the help. You don't see the consequences. You just see, well, you're going to help me, that's fine. You know, that's all. That's the way you get me.
She has a lawyer now and is hoping to get her house back before the new owner manages to flip it to somebody else. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. You'll find replays of all our programs at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.